Yes, it's Pet Chat time, and I'm joined by Cheryl Shaw and Dr. Fiona Giblin in the 2NURFM studio.
How are you, Amanda?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Enjoying the sun?
Yeah, about time.
Hopefully it lasts a bit longer.
That's right, fingers crossed.
Yes.
Now, Cheryl,
yes.
I'm looking at your pin, and you've got a dog with a red nose. Is it Red Nose Day for dogs?
Oh, not quite, but this winter weather is changing a lot of our dogs' noses, so we're going to be talking about the colour of dogs' noses in winter.
Oh, okay. Mm. I wasn't aware that they actually change colour.
Well, some dogs do. It just depends on the genetic background and the conditions of the weather. So we'll talk about that one.
It's like magic. Beck, you've got a problem with your dog. It's got meningitis.
Yes. She's been quite unwell.
Poor thing.
Yes. And so this is actually her second bout with it.
Okay.
We've been to the vet, obviously, and they diagnosed what's called a steroid-responsive meningitis.
Yes.
So she was treated with steroids and we weaned that very gradually off.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, a few weeks ago, she relapsed and... So has needed to go back on the steroids.
Yes.
That's causing her to be very hungry and very thirsty.
Yeah.
She's having lots of accidents inside.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas previously, like, she could easily hold. If the weather wasn't nice and she didn't want to go outside, she could just hold it.
Okay.
And given all the rain and everything that we've had, she's been, that hasn't helped either.
Yeah, sure. So the dose of steroids that she's on at the moment, Beck, has she been on that dose before?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And when she was on that dose last time, was she having accidents in the house?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. We really are in a catch-22 situation here, Beck. I'm sure the vets have probably discussed it with you, but... whilst we need steroids to treat the meningitis, steroids do come with a whole raft of side effects, of which eating a lot and drinking a lot and therefore urinating a lot are probably the most significant side effects that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, in her case, she needs to be on the steroids, basically. So we have to find a way of either tweaking it or managing it until we're on a dose low enough that we're not getting these urination side effects.
Yeah.
First and foremost, is quite important to make sure she doesn't have a urinary tract infection, okay, because that could be definitely contributing to the issue. So taking a fresh urine sample, avoided urine sample, first sample of the day is always the most helpful because it's usually the most concentrated.
Yeah.
And also discussing with your vet about whether we can taper slowly, or maybe so really she's not going to need to be on high doses of steroids long term, but she may need to remain on some kind of steroid. So potentially discussing with them, is it an appropriate time to start tapering those steroids to try and avoid the side effects of the steroids?
So they have said we're on a starting dose at the moment and we haven't started weaning that. But they have warned me that she may need to be on it long term, given that she has relapsed.
She has relapsed, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
My hope would be, Beck, while she would need to be on steroids long term, it wouldn't necessarily be a high dose long term.
Yeah.
So there may be other options. I guess in terms of, you know, where we are now, what can we do to help? Doing things like keeping her confined, okay, so that if she is having accidents, it's in a smaller area in the house. Using things like puppy pads, putting those down to just make it easier for you to manage.
I did wonder about that. So we actually have recently installed like a dog flap and we've been training her to use that with some success. But the issue I think also is that she needs to go up and down stairs to access the grass in the backyard.
Yeah, okay.
So I wondered about if it was worth trying something out on the deck where she can go through the flat door.
Yeah, okay. Oh, look, 100%, I'd be looking for easy options for her, something that's going to make it easier for her to make to do the right thing. Because if she's otherwise toilet trained, she's not going inside because she's malicious. She's just going inside because she's got so much urine to get rid of. And the other thing, if it's becoming unbearable or if it stays present despite tapering the steroids, potentially have a chat to your vet about other options and medications. Is there anything else we can add in which can mean we can decrease the steroids?
Right. Okay. Yep. So what would you suggest if I was to try something out on the deck?
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest trying?
In terms of a substrate to use?
Yeah.
We can probably try anything. I mean, some dogs quite like the there's sort of, what would you call them, Cheryl? Like temporary synthetic grass.
Yeah, the synthetic grass. Yeah. And some people also use, like a roll of turf that they get from one of the hardware stores. It just depends what surface that your dog likes to urinate on.
Yeah.
There's no sort of right or wrong answer. Yeah. It's whatever works for her. You may find she'll go on whatever materials on the deck.
Yeah. And even newspaper, putting some newspaper on a piece of plastic or something like that, that's an easy clean-up solution as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yep.
Well, best of luck with that, Bec. I'm sure definitely communicate with your vets and even if it's just by email, let them know what's happening so that they can advise you further.
Bec, just on that, there is another option that you could try. Sometimes people with dogs, particularly with paralysis, will use nappies on their dogs. Mm. So you can try a nappy. Some dogs won't tolerate them, but it'd be worth a try anyway. That'll save a lot of, mishaps in the house if you use those.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Lots of things to try. Good luck, Bec.
Good luck. Thanks very much. And we've got Rhonda on the line from Cook's Hill. Rhonda, you've got a 18-year-old dog that walks around his food and barks at it before eating.
Yeah, he's pretty fit and healthy for his age, the vet said.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of arthritis in one of his legs and he gets a needle every week for 4 weeks and then it should be back to normal.
Okay.
He waits at the door for me when I come home from work. The back door, the front door is there. But what he does, what I've found just recently, when he eats his dinner, he looks at it and walks around and barks at it and then he'll eat it.
Okay. And is this something new, Rhonda?
Yeah, he's never done it before.
How long's it been going for, would you say?
I just say, eat your dinner, Mr. DJ, and don't bark.
And is it something that's been happening for days, weeks, months, years?
No, just about a month. The vet said he's probably got a bit of dementia.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's pretty fit and healthy for his age.
Yeah, okay. Look, I agree 100% with whoever you saw vet-wise, Rhonda. That's exactly what I think it is. So with dementia, it's not technically dementia because we can't diagnose it in pets, but it's showing the same signs that elderly people show. They've got changes in behaviour, they've got eating changes, sometimes vocalisation issues, sometimes toileting issues. It's unlikely something that will get better, Rhonda, but there potentially are a couple of things that you can try that are fairly easy to do. Okay. There's one, possibly two different pet food companies that actually produce a dry food that's designed for aging dogs, okay? And off the top of my head, I can't remember the ingredients, but it does have a lot of antioxidants and factors that just improve the cognitive ability of dogs. And then there is also different prescription medication that could be something that you could consider trying if you wanted to, Rhonda.
Yeah, the vet said that he's pretty fit and healthy for his age.
Excellent.
And his bladder's better than mine. he goes to the door when he wants to go to the toilet and I let him out and then he'll come back to the door and then I'll let him in. But
fantastic.
I was a bit worried about. I just thought to myself, oh, it's probably a bit of dementia. I'm a nurse and I still work at 72 my age.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what he's going through, but I was just a bit worried if it's, going to hurt him or anything like that.
Not per se. I mean, if he starts running into things or that sort of thing, that potentially could be a side effect. But if you're happy with his quality of life, then by all means just monitor it. And if you feel that he's declining at all, then either a trip to your local vet or consider trying one of these sort of dietary changes might be something you could give a go, Rhonda.
Good luck, Rhonda. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM. And we've got Karen on the line from Gorokan. Karen, you've got a 5-year-old Labrador with a crusty nose.
Yes. We've only had him for a few months, and he had this crusty, just on the bridge of his nose where it joins the fur.
Okay.
It's all these crusty little scab things. They do fall off,
mm-hmm.
but they grow back again. The vet suggested that I get some pawpaw cream, and I got that, and I do it twice a day, and it makes absolutely no difference at all.
Okay, so you've only had him a couple of months, you said, Karen?
Yes, that's right.
Do you have any idea, and I'm assuming you probably don't, but has he had this his whole life?
I have no idea.
Don't know, okay.
No.
And the crusts, when they come off, is the skin sort of healthy and normal underneath, or is it red and moist and raw?
No, it's pink and healthy.
So okay.
So then once the scabs come off, and he scratches it. He scratches it all the time. He rubs his face in the carpet and those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath, it looks pink and a little bit raw. And as soon as I see that, I put some more cream on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes no difference. It just keeps coming back.
Okay. Okay. All righty. Look, not necessarily something straightforward, Karen. Could be easy, maybe not. Given the time of year that we are and the fact that it is a little bit cold and the air's a bit drier, it's possible, given that you've only had him a few months, I guess it's hard to know, is it a seasonal thing or is it year round or is it a new thing? So I guess time will tell in that respect. Mm-hmm. Pawpaw ointment and lanolin, those sorts of QV creams, they're all the sorts of things that I would be suggesting to people as a first point as well.
Okay.
If that's not working or if we're not getting resolution, then biopsying the skin is the next step. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
Because it's
really odd.
There are a few weird and wonderful diseases, autoimmune-related diseases that can present with these scabbing noses. Any issues or sort of red areas around his eyelids at all or around his lips at all?
No. I've got a light here with me and all these lips and gums are all pink and healthy looking.
Okay,
and
none of those scabs like on his nose?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Cheryl, something
Karen,
to add?
Yeah, Karen, just one of the things. Do you use a plastic bowl by any chance for his food or water?
No, it's a metal bowl.
Good, that's good, because sometimes the plastic can leach some toxins in and cause problems around that area, but that's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd stick with the simple stuff to start with, Karen, and if you find it's either spreading or not going away, then I would be recommending biopsies.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Good luck with it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
See you.
Rhea, your dog is sneezing so hard and so often he's injuring himself.
Yes.
Tell me more, Rhea.
Well, it's no certain time of year or anything. It's a big veranda and I've got a big long garden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I don't know what to put it down to, but he comes out and he sits there next minute. You can hear him go bang, bang on the back veranda on the deck. And it's artificial grass.
Okay. And how long has he been doing it for, Rhea?
About 3-4 years.
Okay. And how many times a day would he be sneezing?
Well, only when it's a funny thing because my husband and I used to always go out there at 4 o'clock and have an ale and sit and chat, you know, and he'd come out there and next minute, sneeze, bang. I said, you're going to knock yourself out. And I put him back inside.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the run of the whole yard. It never happens outside. It always just happens on the veranda.
And is there snot or blood or mucus or anything coming out his nostrils?
Not out of his nostrils. He busts his teeth nearly. His gums get all blood.
From the sneezing?
From hitting his jaw down on the deck.
Oh, the poor thing. So he's not. Does he go inside as well, Rhea?
No, not at all.
Okay, so outside, sort of on the grass, or then on the deck.
Yeah, the artificial grass. You know that artificial grass that they put on decking? Yeah.
Yeah. And are you ever outside on the deck and he's down on the artificial grass? I'm just wondering if he sneezes when he's down there as well.
No, not on natural grass. He's not. He's good. It's always just the back burner.
Okay.
And he really hits his mouth, you know. And I can see I've put him inside to calm him down, and he stops. And then I go out and clean the blood up. But it's, you know, 2 or 3 days later, he mightn't do it. And then another day, he'll sneeze 3 times a week.
Okay. Okay. And what sort of dog is he, Rhea?
A Staffy.
And how old?
12 this year.
Okay. And so for the last few years, you think it's been happening on and off?
Yeah, it's getting worse type of thing, you know.
Yeah, okay. Look, it's very, very difficult history, Rhea, and quite an unusual situation, I would definitely say. I, as a vet, would be wanting to check a few things in person, so I definitely recommend you make an appointment with whoever your local vet is. A few things I'd want to be checking on him, definitely making sure his nostrils are symmetrical, there's no swelling there, checking his teeth and his gums, seeing if we've got significant dental disease or any trauma or anything associated with the mouth. Look, it's possible that it's allergies, Rhea, but it's also possible that it's not. So I would definitely be encouraging you to get a physical exam by your local vet and just making sure if there's anything we can do to help him that that we can do that.
Because it never happens in the house. Or in the garden.
Yeah. So it is quite an interesting history, and I would definitely want to see him in person just to be able to give for your local vet to give them some advice. It could be behavioural. It could be allergy. It could be a number of different things, but we would need to examine him to know for sure.
Okay. Good luck with that, Rhea. We're just going to have a quick look at Pet of the Week. Let's see. We've got Tabitha.
She's a pretty cute-looking 18-month-old domestic short hair. Looks like she's got lots of good attributes in her personality. Loves to play, loves toys, loves cuddles, pretty easygoing. As suitable as an only cat, seems child-friendly and cat-friendly as long as she's got a bit of space. So, yeah, she looks like a good one.
She's
Cheryl?
I think she's gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, looks pretty cute.
Yep. And Mia?
Mia is particularly adorable looking. Big white fluff ball, I should say. 6-month-old Maremma. So if you haven't heard of a Maremma, they're actually used as herding dogs, often with chickens, I think, is it, Cheryl?
Yeah, they do a lot of different herding animals, so they're a great pet for those on a farm.
Yes. They like having a job to do, definitely. So they're not a lap dog. She's super cute, 6 months old. So she'd be a good pet for someone with lots of space and happy to put some training in and have lots of interaction and give her intellectual stimulation as well, I think. Yeah.
And they bond very well with their family. They're very, very lovely dogs to own.
With a big fluffy coat that can get a bit...
Needs some maintenance there. Yes, so maintenance. Prepared.
That's it. That's a good keyword.
So certainly they're going to need a lot of brushing. Yep.
Excellent. If you'd like to check out their Dog and Cat of the Week, you can go to 2nurfm.com.au. Now, we've got Helen on the line. Helen's from Charlestown and she's got an 8-month-old kitten that acts like she's on heat whenever Helen visits.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, how you going?
Good. Tell us more about this kitten.
Well, it was Australia. My daughter brought it home.
Okay.
And she's getting ready to have it spayed, and I house sit for them on and off on weekends.
Okay.
She's got a dog, a cat and a bird. Now, this cat, every time I go to house sit, it moves its tail to the right and lifts its bum up in the air and meows at me all the time. And
okay.
My daughter says, it's not doing it when you're not here, Mum.
Okay.
So,
has the kitten been de-sexed?
No, it will be very soon because I said I'm not house sitting anymore unless it's de-sexed.
Look, yeah. Helen, I think it's very sensible laws that you've laid down there. Yeah. Look, very, very, very possible that the kitten is on heat. You know, we're getting to the age that if she was a stray cat or a feral cat, she would have had probably at least a litter by now. Right. And that sort of behaviour, that real sort of tail up, smoochy, purring, quite yeah. vocal, making lots of sometimes very unusual noises is quite possibly the signs that you're getting that she's either starting to come in season or is in season. So I'd definitely be giving your vet a call and booking her in probably sooner rather than later, only because she'll drive you crazy.
Oh, she drives me crazy. But when I leave and my daughter gets home, she's fine. She's not on heat anymore.
So she's not doing it to anyone else except you?
No, that's right.
Maybe you're her subject of desire, Helen.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Look, regardless of whether she's doing it or not doing it, sounds like the plan is to de-sex her, so I would definitely be recommending we do that.
Yeah. And, Helen, definitely keep her inside at the moment because it is the time that cats come into season because they'll have their young now, almost now. They have their mate and then they will have their babies in the springtime. So it's not that long off. So we really do need to make sure that we're keeping her indoors, that she doesn't have the opportunity to find a friend.
Yes, definitely.
Good luck with that, Helen. All right, well, we're almost out of time, but Fiona, you wanted to talk about dementia.
Yeah, look, I thought it was an interesting topic that one of our callers brought up today, so I thought it would maybe be helpful for our listeners to find out a bit more information, because often it's really, really common with people with elderly pets, and often people, they're just getting old, but it is a recognised, some recognised changes that they can have as they get older. And it doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong. It just means that I guess they're not cognitively quite what they used to be. Mm. And so the most common changes that people see, so I mentioned it briefly before, you've got inappropriate or even changes in behaviour, changes in toileting and changes in vocalisation are really right. common. So you might have a pet that used to sleep beautifully through the night and then all of a sudden he's pacing the hallways and barking at 3 a.m. in the morning. Or an animal that without fail was always toilet trained, no problems at all, and then suddenly either he's going overnight or he's going in an inappropriate spot. Maybe it used to go outdoors and now it goes smack bang in the middle of the kitchen. Mm. Or often people will say they walk into a room and they just have a blank look on themselves, like, I can't remember why I walked into this room, and then they'll walk out and then do exactly the same thing. So it's quite unusual changes in behaviour. And as soon as you say to people, oh, I think your pet's got dementia, they're like, oh, I thought so, you know, because they're just, so changes within the brain and they're just not quite what they used to be. We can't fix it as such, but there are different things that we can try that sometimes slow the rate of change or improve things a little bit. So I mentioned briefly there are some prescription diets that can go a little bit of a way to helping, and then there are prescription medications that you need to get from your vet that can just improve oxygenation to the brain, decrease free radicals within the tissue of the brain, and in some cases they have a brilliant effect. So definitely worth a chat to your vet if you feel that your pet's affected as that such way. But it's definitely not a rare thing and quite a common thing with our elderly pets.
Yeah, I know my cat, she stands in the hallway and just goes.
Just kind of looks into.
Yeah, she's just in this stare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lights are on but no one's home type scenario.
Yeah, well, when we all yell out, we'll be like, oh, Angel, puss. Yeah. And she doesn't even pay any attention. But I think she might be deaf. I don't know.
Or she might just be a cat.
Yeah, true. And she's 19.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, dear. Yeah, look, really, really common situation for our elderly pets to be in, but things that we can do and try. And if you're in doubt, there are, you know, give your vet a call and go and have a physical exam. There are also various different things that we often can find on blood tests, particularly with cats.
Yep.
Thyroid issues, high blood pressure, renal disease are all really common conditions in elderly cats that can cause behaviour changes.
Right.
And I think with an elderly pet too, they do need more regular checkups. You know, you can't do that 100% once a year annual checkup. You need to be going at least every 6 months, just keeping, you know, things rolling with the vet so that you're up to date with what, if it is needing medication or something else.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time.
We're out of time.
It's been a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you
next week. Thanks to our callers.
Okay. Thank you on Pet Chat.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.